This week's preview, Cowboys, Raiders, Panthers. But before all that, Payne Haas goes to the Bunnies. Mate, could you see that coming, Steve?
Still in total shock, Hawk. Can't wait to dive into it and have a chat to you about it. We've also got the changes to the Supercoach scoring system, which has caused havoc in the Supercoach world. And the big one for me is you announce who your minor premiers for the season is. That's a big story, Hawk.
Oh, it is. I'm sure there'll be plenty who disagree. We'll also dive into the rule changes and how that's going to affect how the whole game is played. Stay tuned. I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Hey Steve, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks, Hawk. How you been, buddy? Good to see some footy again.
Well, as I was saying to you before we hit record, I was away for a wedding at the weekend, so I have seen literally nothing. I haven't even seen highlights. Got in late last night. One hell of a weekend, which is good, but no footy. But how good, it's back.
It's back. Yeah, there's plenty in the media. The media juggernaut keeps rolling on. Payne Haas has given us some stuff to talk about. A few performances from the trials, and then some excitement for this weekend with some of the teams being named today. Look like they're not quite full strength, but starting to head in that direction. So you can certainly feel the buzz.
Absolutely, yeah. I was quite surprised how strong Paris lineup they've named is. Maybe they're going the opposite way, start strong and then tail off with a bit of a break instead of the other way around, which it tends to be. Yeah. Let's start with Payne Haas. No one saw it coming. Like, it was completely out of the blue. And I think that says a lot for the Bunnies, the fact that they were able to keep it quiet. Not sure what it says about the Bronx, though, that he literally met with... Well, he approached them. Did you see that? He approached them. He's looking to get out. He meets them on Friday, sign a deal on a Sunday. What?
Yeah. Look, there's a lot of rumours swirling around at the moment, but certainly Payne Haas going for the Broncos is out there. That was not one that we're expecting. Obviously, going to South. Obviously, with Clive Matangi heading off to the Dragons, that sort of opened up a slot for him and a fair bit of money. But this is a big, big deal. Really, really surprised.
It is. We'll get to the impact on the Broncos, but look at the Bunnies. Like how lucky? Because really, if Kalua Matangi doesn't go, then there's not even a conversation. But suddenly, you add a player like that. It may even just spur them on this year. But you look at the impact for next year, and then players wanting to go and play at the club to play with this bloke. I heard Kenty talk about it could be one of those. No, it might have actually been Paul Crawley. It might be one of those signings like Lazarus going to the Broncos when it just really built a dynasty, which we were all talking about the Broncos having, and now suddenly, South's looking good.
Yeah, 100%, mate. The flow-on effect on this could be big. You know, if you're a young half, outside back, you're looking for a team with a big set of forwards that are going to get the ball rolling down the field. That full pack, there's still a few question marks on it. You know, Murray's got to come back from injury. Are we going to see the best out of Fifita? But Talis Duncan, absolute gun in waiting on an edge. Payne Haas comes along. Things get pretty serious for South. So it'll be really interesting to see how this plays out. Obviously, we're going to cop 10 days as the cooling off period. So we're going to cop 10 days of gossiping and plenty of back pages being taken up with this. But she's a big one. This was not something I saw coming a couple of weeks before round one. Like, they're boarding a plane, if they haven't already, to head over to play the World Club Challenge. Yeah. And this drops on them. So, I didn't see it coming, mate.
I don't think anyone could have predicted it. And it's also, he's done a three-year deal. So it's not like he's going, got 360 coming up. I'm just going to do 1 year extension, because the story is that'll launch in 28. No, he's basically said I'm picking up the family. It's one of another one of the things. Not taking the family out of Brisbane. There's too much stuff there. But he's big call. I mean, maybe he's looking at down the track, the life after football. Like you connect with South, there's a whole different raft of connections in there in business. We obviously know Russell Crowe's there, but there's a whole lot of quite prominent business people involved with South as well. Yeah, maybe he's thinking about that sort of long-term big picture view.
Yeah. No one's heard from him directly yet around the reasons why. You know, we've heard rumours that the Broncos lowballed him with an offer. I find that staggering if that's what's happened. Hmm. He's instrumental to what they've achieved and what they will do going forward. We mentioned only on this podcast a week or two back when we did the Brisbane season preview, is he out chasing Lazarus? Right now, if he does go and achieve everything that's in front of him, Lazarus won three at three different teams. It was a monumental effort. So is he out chasing that? Does he care about that? Is it about just the pure the money? And then, you brought up a good one around Madge. So, he's got that reputation of really running his players into the ground, so to speak. They come back from this boot camp and Hass has signed with South. Reynolds has announced his retirement. Hunt said that that'll probably be his last ever preseason because he doesn't know whether he can go through it again. Does it have anything to do with any of them? Is there something else we're missing? I'm just with you. It's very intriguing. Even the timing, you mentioned 360. Rugby 360. I thought potentially he signed a year with the Broncos to opening up offers with Perth, potentially even PMG, where big money, PNG's tax-free dollars. But even that didn't happen. So for him to move to Sydney's, I never saw that coming.
Hmm. I also think you talked about Fifita before. There's a few other guys in that team that have been inconsistent. Does it bring out the best in them? Do they all suddenly go to a whole other level? Really interesting. But it's just, I texted you straight away. I was on the road and I just happened to look just as the story broke and it's like, what? I thought it was one of those things. It's just a, clickbait headline and phew, wow.
Yeah, it got wheels very quickly, mate. So, look, it'll be in the headlines throughout the whole year. So if this rolls out and Broncos can't get him to go back on what he's agreed to in this cooling off period, we're going to cop this all year. So it's a big headline and something that's going to be front centre for both sides, especially if the Broncos don't get off to a solid start early. The question marks will start to get asked if it's playing a part in it, etc. So you'd hope it wouldn't, but apparently Maguire's not handling it tremendously. He didn't see this coming either. So it'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out, mate. We're probably not going to get as much media directly from them being in the World Club Challenge over the next sort of few days, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. Rule changes. So the kickoff survived, and I think that was to the relief of everyone. We talked about the other ones the other week. So you were just talking before we hit record about the potential impact of the extended bench. So for those who haven't seen it, six spots on the bench, but you can only use four, which basically is to alleviate any of those HIAs or injuries so that you've got options in a whole lot of different positions. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I don't know whether the NRL's been hoodwinked by some of the coaches or whether they've really thought about this, but I think the 18 and 19 player timed in with the extra six agains. So that six agains now will be extended further down the field. I really think this is going to open up the game to be way too fast on what the product that they're hoping to put out. So I'm expecting benches to be a utility hooker. So someone like a Connor Watson, someone like a Kurt Mann can play hooker, but play also in the middle, Brendan Smith sort of style. And then to have three forwards, probably one edge and two middles, because they don't need to have that risk of injury out wide. If they can hold one of those reserves till the second half, they don't need to worry about having someone that can sort of play in the centres or play out the back. So you see a lot of these forwards at the moment in the preseason have dropped big weight you know, Luciano Leilua at the Dragons, Royce Hunt at the Tigers, the Cowboys fellas, they've lost big weight. The NRL teams are expecting this season to be lightning fast. And with the six agains already causing a few, you know, headaches for the NRL around, you know, what are they justified, what it's causing to the speed of the game, I think they're opening themselves up here to a really fast game and to really change a little bit of the fabric on what we're doing. So it'll be interesting to see how teams play it. We haven't really seen much of it with the trials because they've been largely reserve grade sides and they're unlimited interchanges with big squads. But yeah, I'm not sure this is going to work out how the NRL thing. Come grand final day or state of origin, it's perfect, right? When a centre goes down, you've got a centre there to put them on, no problems. But for round five at Leichhardt Oval between the Tigers and the Cowboys, this isn't going to achieve what they're hoping it to achieve. So.
Okay. I was just thinking about when your team concedes a penalty in their own 40 and how much of a piggyback that is when they get to kick for touch. But now it's pushed back to the 20. So some of those penalties late in the tackle count, maybe it actually reduces the impact. I know it'll make it faster, but it means they're already in the defensive shape. They're on a roll. I don't know. Let's just wait and see. I know when I'm watching my team and they concede a penalty in, you know, before the 40 and they get that piggyback, it's, yeah, you're like, oh, you kind of want them just to get over the 40. So,
yeah, spot on, I don't know. So that momentum and that six again late in the tackle count, I think we're in for a really fast game. And look, there's a lot of positives for that. The viewership, it attracts new viewers to the game. But at the end of the day, I don't know how far this is going to go. We'll see how it plays out, mate.
We will. Now, the other main rule change, which was... which I've got here, but I've forgotten. Remind me. The restart tackle count. We've covered that, yeah. And then the other one was around the trainers, which we won't dive into because it's they'll still find ways to get around that however they can.
Yeah, there's not much for that one.
You did see a bit of the trials. What stood out without going into great depth? Because as we know that, like you said, the squads, they're fairly second string.
Yeah.
What did you see? What did you like?
Yeah, Dragons Knights. The Knights team had a couple of first graders, or at least, you know, squad members. So they've got that headache around the spine. Fletcher Sharp, Smith. I thought Smith was pretty solid. He wasn't outstanding, but I think he was
played.
Pretty
did
solid.
He play at seven?
Yeah, he played in the at seven the time. Sharp, he'll have to be in the side, right? He's too good. He's been named at fullback this week. Yep. Without Ponga, so I sort of think that tips their hat that Sharp won't be in the halves, but where he is going to play and what he's going to do is going to be an interesting one. So for mine, Smith did enough to hold that spot for round one and see what happens. The Dragons, Cade Reid was very impressive. So he's only a smaller fella, played a lot of the he'd gone through the pathways at Illawarra. Played in the halves, was playing a bit of jersey flag and a little bit of reserve grade last year. So yep. Similar to Cody Black, I guess, who's gone from the Broncos to the Raiders, probably needs a little bit of time playing against men for his body to develop. But against the reserve grade Knights, he was probably the best player on the park. So
he's playing halfback.
Yeah, half. So wore the headgear and a lot of comparisons to Jamie Soward with the headgear running around. But yeah. Kicks well, kick goals. Pretty impressively, kick well in general play. So probably not this year because he's may get a few of those 18-19 slots that we're talking about. But in time against the reserve graders will be good. And then there's a bit of a shootout on the wing for the Drags that we've spoken about. So Sedu Tu, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He was very physical. So, you know, we've had problems with the Dragons, with the wingers, Sloan, etc., who doesn't like to come in contact with anybody. But Sedu was quite impressive. He was physical. He was up there. He was upbeat. So I thought that was positive, mate. The other game for the Bulldogs, there was barely a person in the top 30 for the Bulldogs. So they were all reserve graders and jersey flag players. So it's hard to take much. Look, I thought they looked a little bit slow in the first half. You know, they didn't really get off their line, and the Cowboys just kept rolling down the field. But, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. It'll be interesting to see this week they've named almost a full strength side. So it'll be interesting to see how they play there. And then for the Cows, similar to the Knights, there's a bit of a shootout for the halves, but Clifford was really good. So he had Helam Lukey and Robert Darby, who were both first graders and in and out of squads. Lukey's coming back from that injury. They really took to Canterbury's left edge and did a number on them early. So, again, like Smith, I think Clifford's done enough to jag that spot. He has been named at seven this week, and they've pushed Purdue to the centres. I still probably think that's the right way to go. I think they're putting a little bit too much pressure on this Purdue with a forward pack that isn't going to add much metal to the comp. We're going to talk about the Cowboys soon, but I think Clifford did enough, mate, so I would be having him, and Lukey certainly did enough coming back from that injury to look pretty impressive for round one as well. Whether he starts or whether he's off the bench, I don't think he'll be far off, mate. So it was pretty impressive from, you know, the players that you wanted to see something from. I thought they did well, and obviously it was a bit of a reward for some of the reserve graders and Jersey flag players for a bit of a NRL trial match, mate.
Our first hit out for the team's going to Vegas. Now, just quietly, apparently your good self's going to Vegas too, mate. What can you tell us about that? You get there nice and early so you can soak up the whole week?
Yes. Yeah, no, definitely, mate. So there's a group of six of us. We're leaving Tuesday, 2 weeks today. So I'm not sure when this will drop, but as we're recording it, 2 weeks today. So we're quite excited. We've got a number of going are our teams as well. So we've got a few of the Dragons fans and the Knight fan, the Cowboy fan. So we're excited, mate. Make sure we try the local beer.
I'm sure you will. We'll have to do a cross. I'm not sure if we'll get a live cross happening, but we'll definitely make sure we get you while you're over there. Is your wife going?
Yeah, Kath will be going.
A sneaky
new Cowboy Vegas jersey. So she's all very excited about the whole thing.
Not a Elvis wedding in the plans, mate?
Not quite, mate. Not quite. There'll be too many people back home upset that they missed it all.
It'd save you a heap of money.
Yeah, it's a little bit. But yeah, no wedding while we're over there. But if you're going to do a live cross, mate, make sure it's early in the day, will you?
Roger that. Just remember, earlier in the day, we'll be in the middle of the night, so that's not going to happen. Fantastic. All right, let's get to the Cowboys. They have gone alternate years for strong years, so 22, real good, and a dip, and they backed the fifth in the in 24, and then a bit of a dip. So if we follow on that pattern, they should have a good year. I just can't see it myself. What about you?
Yeah, no, mate, I've actually still have not filled in my sheet here on their strength. I can't figure out what their strength is. So
That's a big call.
I've looked at this team across the board. They've obviously got some really good players, you know, Dearden especially, we'll talk about soon. But for me, look, outside to your point that the bulk of these players have been together for the last few years, you know, they haven't really got too many new signings in. So they've been together. They have done it before or gone, you know, close enough, made semi-finals, etc. But I just look at that side and there's not a lot to get excited about right now. So there's a few coming, you know, the Purdue's, etc. But right now, poor old Dearden and a few ageing forwards is all they've got. So I think poor old Dearden's going to have to carry the side. He, if you want me to put a strength out there, he's it. He just busts his ass and keeps going. But yeah, just their roster for me is their weakness. It just doesn't really give me much confidence. They wouldn't put fear into too many sides, especially if they're travelling. You know, if you're playing the Cowboys at home, mate, I can't see them winning too many games outside of Townsville. I really can't.
Big call. I'm the same. The advantage, like you said, they've got a largely unchanged squad, but it's just, I don't know, there's no outside the obvious, Drinkwater, Dearden, and the same old guys, like, there's not a great deal of X factor. I mean, they've got some good young blokes and a bit of speed out wide, and they've got a great production line of talent, but just how much of that talent's ready to make an impression at first grade level, not sure.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, mate. It will be to see how they go. I haven't got them, you know, we'll get talk to it later. I haven't got them all the way down the bottom. I see them winning a few games up there in Townsville, because it is still a pretty tough trip to go up to Townsville. But, yeah, mate, that roster needs some serious work, and they need to get to it quickly, or then they'll start to lose some of these young guns coming through that just might want to wait any longer.
Yeah, exactly. The other thing, when we talk about weaknesses, there's a few guys there that they've bought recently that have been culture mismatches, shall we say, politely, at other clubs. So Bateman obviously had a falling out at the Tigers. Marty's seen two of the Dogs. You know, they haven't called it out directly, but it seems like even when he left Para, there wasn't a massive urge to keep him, and they could have kept him for not too much more money. And then you got Lodge.
There's another one there with Matt Lodge they've just signed.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Staggering signing for me. He's down for me as their most overrated player. Huge raps with him coming through the junior pathways, but he's just done nothing in first grade. He's, to me, that's a waste of a signing. Even at league minimum, filling up your 30, I would have given that money in that slot to another young fella. They got Tom Leroy Lars's young bloke up there playing at feeder clubs. I've seen him run. He needs a little bit more game time, but he's got a little bit of something about him. Well, yeah, I don't get the Lodge signing, and don't tell me it's for culture or to help these young fellas come through, because he's been a disaster everywhere he's gone, right? So, they need a bit of an overhaul. And to your point around that culture, they've got to pick the right players that fit their team and fit that club sort of image.
Yeah, I'm not sure they got that balance right at the moment, and it's going to put a heap of pressure on the whole system. I don't think Clifford's the answer at seven. I know you said he went well, but he's playing against a largely, well, you know, you said not even reserve grade team. He just seems to be one of those players who's a good solid first grader if you need depth, but he's not your starting halfback if you're serious about the competition. And I just think if that's the case, I wouldn't even be surprised if they do end up putting Purdue in there at six and Dearden at seven, because Dearden's that good. So yep, that will be really interesting to see which way they go. And to me, like, talk about Dearden, he's their biggest injury concern. If he goes down, they're in a bit of a hole. What about you? What do you see there?
Yeah, I've got the same, mate. I think if Dearden goes down early and misses large chunks of the season, they could slip down and bail it out for the spoon. I think they could drop that far. I think with Dearden there, to your point, with a few of the others around him, they've got a few wins in them, especially at home. But without him, it's going to be a tough season. And for that, mate, he's under the most pressure, because it's Dearden or bust. I've put Drinkwater down there as well. There is a little bit of press that there's a few of the younger fellas sort of sniffing around that fullback spot. He needs to improve the defence big time, right? So it's on him. Reed Marnie will help in that area. You know, you talk about cultural fit. He's probably perfect for the Cowboys and what they need. He'll really help with that line speed. But Drinkwater needs to help with their defensive structure and their defensive line. So from the back control and traffic, he's a must. So those two guys are going to be under the most pressure from mine, mate.
Oh, I think if Clifford plays seven, it's him. But I also think for Marnie, as good a fit as he seems to be there, I think the pressure is going to be on him because of how things have unfolded for him in the last 2 years. And particularly just being shown the door. I heard him say the other day he's not really sure why, and maybe that's a problem. Like I think he rubs up the opposition the wrong way occasionally. Having watched him at Para, I get the impression that he might do a bit of that with his teammates occasionally as well. He did at times look like, when they all come in and they're getting around each other, he did look like a bit of an outsider at times. So interesting. But again, sometimes people just need a change of environment, and he's a Queensland born and bred, isn't he? So maybe he has a good fit there and he goes forward, but I still think he's under pressure. You mentioned Drinkwater. I put him as underrated because I just think if he'd been in a good system and a good team, I think he just could have like been anything just because his good is so good. But has he had enough opportunity and a strong team to really show what he's capable of?
Yeah, you're spot on, mate. I've got him as well. With ball in hand, he's probably in the top three or four fullbacks in the game, right? He's got that. He's got the speed. He's got the footwork. And he's got a pass on him. He's with the ball. He's top three or four in my book. To your point, potentially in the right setup, the right program, those defensive sort of defensive
frailties,
might have been polished a little bit more, mate. So yeah, that's a good shout. But he's my underrated as well, mate. He's he's something special with the ball in his hand.
Yeah, overrated Bateman. He's a footballer. I just wonder if that sort of player's, the game's passed that sort of player by. Like he crabs across the field. He's certainly a competitor, but if you look at some of the back row prototypes that they've got in most teams now, he just doesn't fit that bill, and I just don't know if he's the right spot.
Yeah, mate, I've got Lodge for what we mentioned. I'd be even surprised if he finishes the year with him, but he's similar to Bateman. I think the game's passed Lodge by. I think he's too slow in the middle. He doesn't move laterally with defence real well. If we're right with the speed of the game that they're going to hit us with this year, he's going to find himself in a whole lot of trouble if he's playing anything more than 15 or 20 minutes. So he's for mine for very similar reasons, mate.
Yeah, I couldn't find a Smokey for reps beyond people who've already had a crack. I don't know enough about some of those younger forwards. I don't know if you've got anything different there, but
I put down Labutt at a stretch. I can't see him doing it this year, but he's just got a little bit of something about him, Labutt. But no one for this season, mate. I think the Deedons and the like are a lock for Origin, but I can't see them being too many. They'll get a few, to your point, the Lukies, the Nanais, they'll get a call up with the World Cup for their countries, but no one else.
Coach definitely under pressure. That's funny, when he had that stint at the Warriors, he made them so good.
Yeah.
And you just thought, the good year at the Cowboys, and you just thought it was up and up, but it's just been so inconsistent since then. There's been all sorts of noise. You had the situation with Tomalolo. Interestingly, they've cleared out with the assistant coaches. He's got Blake Green there. I think that'll be massively beneficial. All the players obviously had a good rapport with him at Newcastle. He apparently was great at connecting with the players and bringing them together, so that's going to be a positive. Paul Wellens from St Helens. I had a quick look at some of the thoughts of St Helens fans, and there was mixed reviews, some of them not massively keen on how he left them, but he's clearly got a great pedigree. He played, I think they said he played 450 first grade games in the Super League, and then he's had a couple of years in the coaching system. As an assistant, he's going to have a great deal of depth and knowledge, and you talked about he's a fullback. Maybe he's going to have a positive impact for Drinkwater from that defensive perspective.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think the coach is going to have to start well, or the drums will start beating very soon, I reckon.
Yeah, I think he's probably the one on the chopping block, mate, probably first off. Look, I hope he gets another opportunity somewhere else with the assumption that he probably isn't going to get him in the top eight this year. Now, it's funny, you've picked the Cowboys pretty well here, mate, with that cultural fit. I just don't know whether Peyton fits the Cowboys. I see him at another club. He's blue collar. That first or second year, I think it may have been, where they really made a run for it, he had them super fit. They were playing hard-nosed footy. You had to beat them, right? Well, that's traditionally not really the Cowboys go. The Cowboys have always been a little bit more flair. It's similar to how Drinkwater plays, I guess. Really good with the ball, does their best in defence. So, with the assumption he doesn't get them to the eight and he gets the fleek, I hope he gets picked up by a club that has that blue-collar attitude and mentality, because I still think he's got a lot of coaching in him. Just don't know whether it's just going to work out for him here this season, mate.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I just thought, you just get... You, when you listen to some people talk, you just like they make it sound simple, but they also they question things that I don't know. They're talking the same language as the way you sort of think about it. You know, I'd say he would. It'd just be interesting to see if he survives this, and how long. Because when you look at, we've gone through the teams, a lot of the teams, and more often than not, when we've talked about other coaches under pressure, we've said no because a lot of them are either new or they're so well entrenched that just clubs aren't going to get rid of them. They're going to be patient with them. But he seems to be the real standout. So it will be very interesting how that unfolds.
Yeah.
Dally M. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, mate, I've got Dearden for Dally M. I think if they're going to do anything, it's him and his effort. And I got Murray Tulangi as the try scorer for them for the year, mate. I think they do get their attack going. Drink water out the back. I think Tulangi can get over a few times.
Agree. And just looking at his record, he's been injured the last 2 years, hasn't played full seasons, but like that ratio of matches to tries is still really high. So if he gets a full season, he should top that easily. I've got drink water for the Dally M. I just think he's been up and down with the team. I just think he's just got a bit like when you talked about some of those guys for feeder, and another couple of players we've talked about. It's almost their last chance. Not that Drinkwater's going to get flicked, but it's time for him to step up. Like you talked about his talent, we just haven't seen it consistently.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just think he's hitting that age where he could string a really good year together. And because we talked about maybe they won't go so well, then that gives him a real opportunity to stand out. Dean's going to get an Origin, so that's going to eat into his points. And yeah, I think he should have a good year.
Mm. Yeah, mate, you're right. Drinkwater, it's one of those ones. What are your legacy? What do you want to be known for? Just a solid first grader who was doing his best, which is something that most of us would have taken. But Drinkwater's got the opportunity to be able to be known as something more. One of the best at the Cowboys, you know, in Bowen's footsteps, you know, potentially, you know, around that Origin talk. But, yeah, it's up to him to have a crack, mate, and see what happens this season.
Yeah, and if you string a year or two together of high class, then people forget those inconsistent years.
100%.
They remember you as that player that was that good. Like Benny Barber, people talk about him. Like he was a bit hit and miss until he had that really good year in 2012, and then he kind of disappeared just as quickly as he got started. So, yeah. Supercoach.
Supercoach, mate, 50% of the coaches hang on, sorry, Hawk, I'll talk to you about Supercoach for a minute.
Yeah.
They've pulled a classic NRL situation. So the Supercoach world's gone into meltdown over the last week because they've changed the scoring. So anyone who's following Supercoach or just starting to get into it, it has been chaos on social media. The scoring's been changed. So they're now using NRL statistics instead of Fox Sports statistics.
Interesting.
They count things differently. So tackles are counted differently, hit-ups are counted differently, try assists are counted differently. So truth be told, everyone's still trying to work it all out. Unfortunately, in typical NRL fashion, like the real changes, they've left this until 3 weeks before the season starts. So everyone's trying to... So mate, I'm going to just mention like I would have in the old scoring until we can try and get some more information. But Tom Chester at the moment's owned by 50% of coaches. He's at 216,000. He hasn't been named in this week's side, and I don't know whether he is going to squeeze a spot, to be honest with you. If he does, then he's a must-have. But just keep your eye out that first team list Tuesday. We will know with the Cowboys early because they'll play in zero round in Vegas.
Yep.
But if he's named, he's a must. They're a little bit light on after that. So Reid Mahoney's at 418. He's a bit cheaper this year coming off that lack of minutes for the Bulldogs. So about 25% of coaches have gone with Mahoney to start the season. I'm not going to find a spot for him, but he is there for you. And then two that are interesting, Drinkwater always becomes Supercoach relevant at some time throughout the year. He's at 793, so he's a bit too expensive for me to start with, but I can't knock anyone from doing it. And then Helan Lukey, he's an interesting one. So he scored a try, and I'll be honest with you, it was a pretty weak try. The Bulldogs' left edge just didn't get off the line, but he still scored it. And look pretty good. So keep an eye on him. He's only at 400K. There's three or four second rowers around that same price point that if you can pick the right two, you're probably going well. But, yeah, Lukey might be an interesting one at 400K, mate.
Okay, that's good. It almost means that someone new coming in might the rest of the field might come back to their level. So, again, you're painting a good picture for me to come and join. But you might have to incentivize it a bit more. I'm still not quite over the line. So in terms of the mental impact, I mentioned before that those new players coming in, the culture fit, well, how will that work? One thing I also mentioned before, Blake Green, he will bring that ability to connect to the players and bring players together. So that should be a bonus. But I just think the coach will be under pressure too soon, and I think that's going to be it's going to be too big an impact, and I just see them struggling with that. They've lost Jordan McLean, retired. He's going to be on the coaching staff with a role, but it just looks to be like we've talked about, the team has got a balance of good experience and youth. Just about, I don't know. We could be proven to be wrong, but the balance just doesn't look right, whether it's from a physical perspective, football, or that mental edge and that hard edge that you're looking for in an NRL team. So I think they're going to battle.
Yeah, I agree, mate.
I've got them finishing 15th, mate, and they... Yeah, to me, 15th through 6th is a lottery. But I just got too many other teams on the improve, and I've got nothing to show me that that's going to be any different with the Cows.
Mate, I got them a very, very scratchy 13. But, you know, to our point, a couple of losses at home early or a Dearden injury, that could very quickly become, 15, 16, 17 for mine. So a scratchy 13, mate, for the Cowboys, but nothing to get excited about.
No. And if they do sack the coach and a new coach comes in, that usually causes a bit of a spike, so maybe they make a late charge as well. Who knows?
Yeah, never know.
All right, Raiders. Talking about business. Oh, mate, they are. They are an exciting team.
They're an exciting team, yeah. I think most would say, probably not Ricky, but most would say they overachieved a little bit last year, but then you go and look at the squad that he's assembled and you say, well, maybe they didn't. You know, that's one hell of a forward pack. He's been recruiting these young, really talented footballers from all over the East Coast, taking them to Canberra, and he's just getting them in the Raiders culture from the beginning. Mm-hmm. That forward pack for mine's in the top three still. They're setting the standard,
And that forward pack depth, like they've brought in some good depth to that, like the hooking role. Like Owen Paddy's a freak. You imagine that Scott Starling's going to get first crack, and then you've got Brayley come in as well. So, and like you said, a lot of those under 20s Blues players are part of that squad too. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, well, we spoke about Trey Mooney when we did the Knights a couple of weeks ago. He was very, very good. The trial match for the Knights, and he's another one just couldn't get a crack into this Raiders pack, and has gone to Newcastle, and early signs are what we thought they would be for him. So, and then they're really settled, mate. I know that sounds weird because they've lost the halfback, but if you look across the rest of their team, they're really, really settled side. Even with Sanders coming into the seven, he's been in the club. He's been around the squad for a few years now. So it's not like you're bringing someone from outside. So they're really settled, mate, with a really impressive wonder, probably 20.
Yeah. And what I've seen of Sanders, again, being a Para fan, I've probably seen more than most, I think he's good. He played his debut down at Brookie in a game that we should have won, and he was impressive. Oh, I think he'll go well. And we talked about Manly and Fogarty, and that's going to be a downside. For me, that's both a positive and potentially a weakness, is that he is still only young. Just if he gets injured, then you've got Cody Black, and again, he's as big a raps as he got on him. He hasn't played a game of first grade yet. And the only other thing I was thinking of, you know, like they've got great defence, they've got speed, they've got that forward pack, they've got the depth. The only thing that I was thinking could go either way is the impact of that heartbreak from last year.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you that, mate, when you talk about that mental approach at the end there, because that all, for those young players, they can use that as that stepping stone. You know, the old saying, you got to lose one to win one, or they could wear it around their neck a little bit, because that heartbreak in that Broncos game, especially when Walsh just snapped it out of their hands at the last minute. Yeah, you can't let that hang around too long for him. So hopefully Stewart's been around a long time. He knows his footy. But yeah, for me, those halves, they're just young, right? So that's the only, if they can, you know, and not too many better mentors for a half than Ricky Stewart. So if he can make sure that they don't miss a beat, they're in for another really good season, I think, mate.
Absolutely. All right, what do you got? Biggest injury concern, player under pressure, unders, overs.
Yeah, I've got Ethan Strange for the injury concern. I think, to your point, if you looked at that side and had to play Sanders and Cody Black in the halves, I think it would start to concern me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Pretty big raps on Strange. So he kicks on. Who knows what will happen after this Kangaroo tour. It could be big for him. But I think if he goes down, they're going to be a little bit skinny. For the most underrated, I've got the backs. Under pressure, I've got the backs. And I say that because a lot of them now have played 2, 3, 4 years of first grade. So, you know, we spoke about Drinkwater a little while ago. This is their chance now that they're established first graders. You know, the KO Weeks of the world, the Tamales, these sort of guys who have been around for a little while now, Savage, that have got the ability. Now the time's to go. So there'll be a little bit of pressure on them, not necessarily, you know, from the media or anyone else, but what do you want to make from this? Do you want to take this opportunity that you've got and really run with it or not? So there'll be a little bit of a watch on those guys just to make sure they're doing what they need to be doing.
Yep, I agree with all of that. I with the underrated, yeah, I looked at that back five, same thing, and I'm like, mate, that they are so good. I picked out Timoko especially, but I also was like, well, Seb Chris, just one of those players. He just gives absolutely everything. He's a big body. Mate, a lot to like. Ethan Strange, biggest injury concern. I think he's the player under most pressure as well, because he's going to be playing next to one of those young blokes in the halves, unless Ricky suddenly manufactures a halfback out of someone else. I just think that's going to put a lot in. And he is the biggest concern if he goes down, because when he did go down in that semi-final series last year, they looked a completely different side without him. Suddenly, KO Weeks didn't look as confident. That could have also been the end of a long year. And as we talked about before, you mentioned most of us thought they probably overachieved. Yeah, there's plenty on young shoulders, but as you mentioned, he is that good, and he's just been on a Kangaroo tour where he would have learnt heaps.
Yeah.
He's got a massive year ahead, and he's got to be the smoky for an Origin start somewhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, I have him down there, mate. Obviously, to your point, he didn't get a game on the Kangaroo tour, but he went away. You know, he really straightened up the Raiders' backline movement. So to your point around KO Weeks, that really affected him. So I think he's definitely a smoky, especially now there's going to be an 18th and a 19th spot on that Blues bench. They'll carry the same rules through. So he's a pretty good fit for that, right? You can put him on, he can play in the halves, he can play at centre. He could probably even play lock if you needed him to. He's a pretty solid fella with a good defence. So I think, he'll go very close. I can't see him ousting Moses for the sixth slot, but I think he'll be thereabouts for the squad, mate, definitely.
Yeah, but you look at both Moses and Cleary the last few years, they've been injured a fair bit, so there's every chance that one of those or both of those won't even be available. So, big chance.
Yeah.
Coach under no pressure. Like what he's built down there is quite impressive. So super coach, what have you got for us with the Raiders? There must be some good buys there.
Yeah, so yes and no, mate. So the reason I say no is because the Raiders had a huge year last year, so they're all really priced at their maximum, coming off a big year. Tamale, there's a bit of value in Tamale. I actually think he could have a big season. So he's at 547. He'll go really close to making my final side. He'll be one of those centres, just depending if I got enough money, but he's a gun who's on the lookout. We spoke about Sanders. Word is that he may get the goal kicking. Now, if he does, 246 in the halves, he could be a watch out. There's about 40% of coaches at the moment that own him, so he's one. And then two were the big boys up front who always become relevant throughout the year. Young at 750 and Tapine at 700. Not a starting slot for mine. They're just a little bit too priced, a little bit too pricey, but certainly one to keep an eye on as the year gets going and you build your money. They'll become relevant probably in and around Origin time, mate.
Yep. We talked about the mental edge before. They've just got a steal about them. All the rookies teams do, except for the 2013 Eels, which were absolute shit. But that's another story. Us Eels fans aren't bitter at all. What he seems to improve, though, is he's done a great job of building that community and bringing them together. And that's something that wasn't necessarily the case in his younger coaching years. But there was a picture of him the other day with all the players and their wives and families, and he's done a great job of building that real community and getting players. The challenge for the Raiders was always buying players, and they were going for big names and not getting them, whereas now it's just they're just building this empire of young guys coming through, and they are high quality, and we saw what he did with them last year. The question, well, what they've got is a whole lot of uncompromising and real hard players. You mentioned Tarpany, Papa, of course, Hudson Young. I'm a massive fan of Zach Hosking, the son of the Mule. That same sort of no-nonsense player. Seb Chris, I mentioned before. But it's pretty much across the park. Like, they're hard. They'll go well. And that equates to a mental strength as well. When you've got that sort of confidence in each other, you're going out there looking to really boss teams around. You look at those games, whether they won last year that maybe they shouldn't, and yeah, maybe they fell a few centimeters short, but the only question is whether that impact of last year is going to build a steely resolve and determination in them to go one better, or whether that's going to linger. I thought about some of the teams where it did linger. 25, the Broncos, off the back of really, they had the game won in that 24 grand final. They fell off a cliff. The Eels and Cowboys are 22 that played that epic prelim final. They both faded to miss the eight the next year. And there's a history of teams doing that, going out in straight sets and then really feeling the mental effects of that for some time. They are a largely young squad, so it will be interesting to see. If that does happen, I'm leaning towards it not being the case, and in fact them being better again. The only challenge is, compared to last year, is that they are going to have to play a young rookie halfback, and that may be the thing that stops them being right up the top, and that's why I've got them at fifth.
Oh, I've got them at sixth, mate. It's the same, right? So, and we've already spoken about any team could beat another couple in that sort of same bracket as them and push into the four. I definitely see them making the eight. I can't see them slipping out of that. But, yeah, got them at sixth spot and pretty solid to cause a bit of havoc at the back end of the year, mate.
Yep, absolutely. And they went to Vegas last year, which would be tough. And then they went on the road for, like, however many weeks. They did plenty of stories about how much travel they'd done. With a more settled and quiet opening, I don't know exactly how many home games they've got to start, but they could really be sitting in and amongst it really early on. So big year, I reckon, again. Panthers, well, speaks for itself. Last 6 years, they've been either granny, prelim, super impressive system.
Yeah.
They've got a few youngsters that have been in the system now for at least 12 months. Talangi, McLean, a couple of those guys on the periphery. The spine speaks for itself. And then you add in Yo, Leota. Massive. The only weaknesses I could find is like they've had a few of those guys get injured, and if Cleary, Kenny, Leota, Lindsay go down, Edwards, then there might be a problem. And the only other thing is, has the bubble finally burst? I don't think so, but yeah, I think they're pretty solid again, very solid.
Yeah. Look, I see it similar, mate. I think, you know, the big thing going for them this year, probably the first year since they've gone on the run, is they haven't had any major losses in the player department. So, you know, they lost a couple of those boys to Canterbury. They lost a few to the Tigers. Fisher Harris went to the Warriors. Each year, they've progressively lost them. Well, this year, just about 1-17 is what it was last year. So I think that'll help. You know, they've always had to go and find and plug a massive gap. And it hasn't been a fringe first grader. They've lost some of the best players in their positions in the NRL. I think that's a huge strength for them. You know, they're winners, right? They know how to win. It just becomes natural to them. So I think they're good with that. But for their weakness, for me, I've got the unknown. So has the grind of the last 5 or even 6 years now started to wear on them? You know, we saw, to your point, a few injuries creep in. A few of them play pretty hard footy. 2-0. Edwards out the back, like there's not a lot of finesse in their game, right? They go 100 miles an hour for little men. So is it just starting to wear them down a little bit? You know, is it starting to physically start to take its toll, let alone mentally? So I think the weakness is their unknown of how they're going to continue to get themselves up, because we've never seen anything like this. It'll be an interesting one, but no doubt Cleary's the biggest injury concern for me, mate. I can't see them winning the comp without him. I think with him, he's certainly a chance. But he goes down. I can't see them being able to do it without him, mate.
Agree. Under pressure, I struggle with this a bit, but I landed on Dylan Edwards because he'd set such a high standard. He then has his Australian jumper taken, mind you, by a guy in absolutely freakish form. But it was more just the uncharacteristic errors that we saw from him the back in last year that we just haven't seen. Like, one of his huge upsides was he just was so safe. He didn't drop balls. He was a good decision maker. But you could, in those last probably month or so, more mistakes from him than I remember seeing in the previous 5 years. So to me, I mean, maybe he was busted. Maybe, you know, he wasn't fully fit, which sometimes they don't publicise. But I think, if he needs to step up and have a good year if he wants to hang on to that Blues jersey even.
Yeah, I see it the same, mate. The press will start to get a little bit louder with Edwards. You know, to my previous comment, how much is this taking a toll on him? You know, he's pretty high work rate. He's always around the ball. He's very active in defence. So, yeah, the pressure will be on him. Is his run done? You know, has he reached the end of what is a very impressive career because he's just gone too hard? Or, you know, was he just tired and he just needed this off-season rest and he'll come back bigger and better? So hopefully he does for the Panthers, because they're going to need him. No question.
Yeah, Teddy managed to do that. Everyone thought he was done and he came back and had an unbelievable year last year. Yeah, underrated, Moses Leota. Like, the Braps were always...
You're reading off my sheet, are you, mate?
I must be. The big Raps were always on Fisher Harris, but whenever I watched my para play against Penrith, whenever Leota got the ball, I was scared. He was just one of those players where he would do a run where he would drag defenders forward, he'd get a quick play of the ball, and suddenly they're attacking. Like, he's still just as scary, and I just think he doesn't get the raps that a lot of the other props do. He's a weapon. I love him. I've mentioned him before when we talked about May at the Tigers. And that's why I got Tongo as the overrated. He's still a good player. I just don't think he's as good as some of those other centres in the comp. and my rep smoky, Lindsay Smith. I know he's already played for Australia, but I think he's a lock for that Blues jersey this year.
Yeah, look, see, it's similar, mate. Leota's a first tackle front rower, right? He's an alpha. He's big, he's mean, he causes damage, right? When he takes a hit up, you need to work hard to put him on his back. He's definitely going to lead the pack. Obviously, they've got the Yodes and the Clearys out there, but he's the leader of the pack, no question. Overrated, mate, I've got Papali. You know, he had that one big season at the Tigers, and it's just been pretty average since, mate, truth be told.
Not even that. Big year of para, yeah. Tigers fell off a cliff.
Yeah, sorry, the big year of para. Went to the Tigers on big money, another overpaid player at the Tigers. And he just hasn't kicked on. So he certainly dined out on that one good season and made some good cash out of it. I can't see him turning it around either. I think he's just going to be there until they find a replacement for him and he'll shuffle off. He was solid last year, you know, to be fair. But, he's not what the raps are on him, mate. Yeah, and I've got, to your point, Smith will be thereabouts. I haven't got anyone to be a smoky. They've either all played, you know, they're... littered with Origin and Test players, so that'll be the same. And obviously, there's no question of the coach being under pressure. You know, Panthers will be under pressure about keeping Cleary. You know, the Volandis are going all out to try and get the Clearys to PNG. Whether that comes off, we'll wait and see. But he's absolutely under no pressure, mate. He's number one for the coaching ranks at the moment, mate.
Yep, spot on. And I think the rest of them just write itself, unless you had anything different. Nathan for Dally M, top try scorer, Alamotti. He's just a machine. I don't know if you saw any of that differently.
Yeah, no, I think Cleary will go close. I pick Grant to win the Dally M overall, and I'll stick to that. But Cleary will be very close, especially if he's fully fit and plays the season. And, yeah, look, Alamotti will probably be the one. If they play down 2-0's edge, he'll score just as many. But... I'd be lobbing on Alamonti, mate.
Yeah. Supercoach
for me, the Panthers are a bigger void for two reasons, mate. They open with games against Cronulla, Roosters, Melbourne and South, which is absolutely brutal. And they finish with Melbourne, Raiders, Bulldogs. So that's the grand final, semi-final and grand final for Supercoach teams. That's going to be an absolute nightmare run for them all. Over Origin period, they get a really pleasant experience. There's a lot of games against teams that we're picking to run in the bottom half of the ladder, but the problem with that is a lot of them go off and play Origin, so you're not getting them against the Manlys and the Titans of the world. So to me, throughout the year, you can pick and choose some Panthers as you go, but just be very wary of their draw. And then, you know, the three players that have always been pretty relevant, Cleary, 826, Yo at 610, and Tuo is an interesting one. He's just under 600K. And traditionally, he's been a little bit fixture-proof, as we say in Supercoach, where it doesn't really matter who you come up against. He's just got that workload. So if you were going to lob on a Panther, it'd be 2-0 for mine. But with that draw, both the start and finish the year, they'll be in a void for me for a while, mate.
Yep, fair call. Mental Edge, I don't know if you've heard Ivan interviewed for any of those longer form interviews. He did a great one on the Mark Boris podcast. I've heard him on a few other different things. He's so calm, he's so measured, he's so certain. Like, it seems like the rest of the players follow off that. You've only got to look at some of the comebacks they'd had over the years. You could see the look on his face when they were running out of steam in that prelim final. You could just see him sort of take a big swallow as if to go, oh, we're done here. Like, he's that aware of what's going on. He's obviously, he just has that ability to build self-belief. Some of those young guys at the start of last year who were struggling and they looked so bad, but he had the composure just to keep them on task. He even said, I underestimated how long it would take to get some of these guys to be playing to the system. But then at the end, those guys were playing unbelievable footy. I reckon he would have learned a lot from last year, and he would have been able to take that forward into this year's pre-season with a whole nother batch of young guys, even though their sort of predicted starting 17 will be much the same. That they, no doubt, there's gonna dig deeper into that pathways program that's been so successful over the last decade, really.
Yeah. What a story it'll be if he can get them back into a grand final, let alone win one, after what they've done and had that year with a lot of injuries and everything went wrong for them at the start of the season. Well, they're running last at one stage. Hmm. What a story it'd be if he got them back up and into another grand final this year. That would be one of the most impressive coaching performances we've seen. So fully fit, mate, they're going to give it one hell of a shock. I got them finishing fifth, probably just outside the eight. I think, you know, while
it's on the four. That's on the four.
Outside the four, sorry. Yeah. Got to run a fifth. It's only down the road, but I think not playing at Penrith hurts them a little bit. Going to Para Stadium hurts them a little bit, but what an impressive side, mate. An impressive coach. The system, fully fit. They're going to give it a mighty shake, and wouldn't be surprised if they're thereabouts again, mate.
Yeah, 100%. I got them finishing one. I just think they're going to bounce back. I think...
I love it.
Yeah, I think fully fit. Those young guys have really come on better than I thought they were going to, and I just looked at how they finished the year. Yes, they ran out of steam. That was the prediction, is that, you know, they've had to work so hard, they've had to win so many of those games at the back end that maybe they ran out of steam, and they did. I just think now they haven't had to celebrate a grand final, so that would have given them a better rest, and I just see them bouncing back, and I'm not sure if they'll win the granny, but I think the system there, they just seem to win no matter who comes and plays. And if you're saying that they've got a weaker draw through Origin when they've had a better than 50% record with their stars missing, they'll probably win a heap of those as well.
Yeah, great shout, mate. As I say, I can't knock that for one moment. They're going to be thereabouts again. Very impressive organisation.
Yeah. Pains me to say. All right, well, we're going to separate our teams because we'll probably waffle on more about our own team than we will on the other teams. So if you're a Para fan or a Dragons fan, you'll like next week's episode. If you're a follow another team, then you might want to watch the highlights version.
I'm sure there'll be plenty of talking about this Haas thing is going to play out more. I think Lomax goes to court. We've got a four round of trials with some NRL stars coming back. So I think next week's episode could be our biggest yet, mate.
Yeah, 100%. There'll be plenty to talk about. Always a pleasure, Stephen.
Cheers, Hall.
All right, mate. You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.